don't think you drank out of either one of these waters, did you?
Be like Mr. Dunkel, drink out of both of them.
You probably wouldn't kill me even if you had. That's all right. We are at Sabbath services, as you all know, because you're here with us. Sabbath service today basically entails a song leader who assigns someone to give the opening and closing prayer and introduces someone to give the sermonette, or like today, two split sermons. He then leads the congregation to sing three hymns and do an opening prayer, then listen to the sermonette or split sermons, and then the sermon. Two more hymns, or some places like here, one more hymn, and sandwiched in between. And at the end, you'll have a closing prayer and then a closing song. Then we get up, talk a little while, go home. And Sabbath has become kind of that way for most people in the churches of God. Just a routine. Some people run for the door as soon as it's over with. And some people, they like the fellowship, so they stick around. They may eat something, drink something. Then they talk about a few things and go back to their quote-unquote lives. And then, God willing, they'll come back next week and they'll do it all again. The songs we sing at Sabbath services, in case you don't know me, I'm involved pretty heavily in music in the church and have been for a number of years. The songs we sing may in some cases be lifeless and boring, and the whole service gets lost in a blur of sameness with little difference and just a little life. So I want to ask you today, brethren, is this what God wants? You might say, well, sure it is. He tells us to come to church, and we're just doing what we're supposed to do, right? Well, I'd like to say that we've lost something. When I was a child in the church back in the 60s, church was alive. I mean, people felt like they had been called out of the world, which they had. We've been called out of the world. But they were happy to escape the world and get to Sabbath services. I mean, and back then, services were not over in a couple of hours. And as a child, I didn't appreciate that very much. It could run on for some, depending on who was speaking, maybe 3 or 4 hours. And on, you had two services every day on holy days. And it was hard if you were a child or if you were older. I actually remember that the Passover service was like the Feast of the Fall Feast. We got together all week long, had just piles of food on table after table up in the Dayton area. And because basically you couldn't find unleavened bread or unleavened food out in those days. And if you asked someone, they looked at you rather weird. Unless they had a Jewish background, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. But nevertheless, church was alive. When people got up, one thing I remember when I was a child, of course, we went to Armory Building. Sorry. The first building they had in Cincinnati in the area was the Armory Building. And yes, the men had to come in hours before services because it smelled like beer because they drank beer there the night before. And they had to clean up the messes and wash all the chairs. 400 and some chairs because that's how many people attended. Well, when they sang just hymns, it sounded like you were at the feast every Sabbath. But people sang out. They truly made a joyful noise. There were some people you wish wouldn't sing out because they were making a noise, all right. I don't know. Hopefully God felt like it was joyful. But that's what God wants, isn't it? He's a loving Father. And just like you have children or have had children when they were little, Daddy, Mommy, I want to sing you a song. And they may be on 400 different keys and be off, but you pat them on the head and tell them how good a job it was. That's why we're told to make a joyful noise. There is a time for those skilled, as David points out in Chronicles, And that's what we today call special music. So though there is a distinction in the two groups of people. But I would like to tell you that we've lost, in my opinion, we've lost that. We've lost the excitement of Sabbath services. We've lost the excitement to realize that we are set apart. We've lost the excitement for the music program. Today, brethren, we're going to be looking at music in the Church of God. I could have focused on many things, but there is a time limit, so I'm going to focus on one aspect of our weekly Sabbath. We're going to look at what God intended Sabbath music to be, and what we've lost, and what it should be in the church today. So, first of all, let us answer the question, why do we have music in the church anyway? Why do we have music at Sabbath services? So I will ask you to turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 25, if I have my notes correct. Now I have notes from different translations, and I have the New King James Bible here, so I may refer to the translations, even though I'm not going to read from all of them, because it was just, like I said, it's limited here, and I don't want to get borne down in something that I can't cover fully. So, in 1 Chronicles, chapter 25, let's read here just a few things here that I'd like for you to point out, or like to point out to you. David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph and Heman, I don't know how you pronounce it, but this other guy here, and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, strings, cymbals, and stringed instruments and cymbals. Notice how it's worded. It doesn't say they're going to play them. It said they're going to prophesy with them. Why would it state it that way? If you're just going to get up and play music, and it's just music, something to listen to, why is God, or why is it stated here that they prophesied with the music, with the instruments? And of the sons of Asaph, and it names them all. I'm not going to read through all the names. And then it goes down in verse 3, it names some other people. And it says in the end of verse 3, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks to praise the Lord. End of verse 3, chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles. Prophesied with a harp to give thanks and praise to the Lord. If you continue on down, it talks about that in verse 6 about how there are stringed instruments, there's cymbals, harps, different kinds of instruments for the service of the house of God. Right here we start getting an inkling. Why do we have music? It's to serve in the house of God. It's not just a nice thing to have. It's not just, okay, let's sing some songs and we feel better. No, it's part of the service. It's part of Sabbath services. It's in a very important part of Sabbath services. So the number of them with their brethren who were instructed in the songs of the Lord, who were all skillful, were 288. They divided them. If you read on down, I won't again read through all of this, but basically what they did is they took these 288 people, they divided them into 24 groups of 12 each. So that means in the course of a 7-day week, they had three groups of 12 for each of the days, and then they had three groups of 12 as a backup, so that if for any reason someone couldn't sing or play or they got sick for any reason, they were there. Why? Because it was that important in the service to God that there always be music before God. If you read through Revelation, which I didn't cite the account, but God, when I think it was in Revelation, how God says he created the angels even before the earth was created in service to Him, and they played their harps and their music, and they do it all the time, 7 days a week, or as we call it today, 24/7. That's how important music is. When He created Lucifer, the light bringer, before he became Satan, He created within his very body, this is in Ezekiel, created within his very body the ability to play all kinds of beautiful music. Why? Because it's just kind of nice to have? No. Because it means something. It's very important to God as part of our lives. Well, let me continue on. I could just give you the punchline, but I'll bring you through this. Okay. Next, please turn to Psalm 95. We'll read some over there in Psalm 95. So what I want you to remember from 1 Chronicles is that music was used in the temple in the service of God to thank and praise the Lord. That's the bottom line of 1 Chronicles. It was used in the temple to thank and praise God. It wasn't just something nice to have. Okay, turn over to Psalm 95, please. In Psalm 95, well, if I turn to Psalm 95, we'll start reading verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms or songs. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Where do we come before God? Where does God live? I ask you, where is it talking about that we do this? Well, God lives in heaven, doesn't He? Maybe preparing a throne to come down, but right now, God is in heaven. Let's also keep my tongue from tying, to Psalm 96, which is just the very next one down. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations and His wonders among all peoples. Okay, I won't read any more than that, but see, here's another thing that music does. It proclaims God's goodness. It proclaims the plan of God, doesn't it? Verse 4, for the Lord is great, I will read some more, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Verse 6, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O kindreds of people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. It says, bring an offering and come into His courts. Where do you come into God's courts? I ask you again. God lives in heaven. So when you come within God's courts, you're coming into His throne room. You do that when you pray individually on your knees to God, you're coming right before Him. You're kneeling down before the Creator of the universe. And there's a picture in Revelation that kind of, it's what I always remember, and I tell my ABC students, picture God the Father sitting on the throne. For some reason, I always kind of get the image of Abraham Lincoln in Washington, D.C. in my mind. But God the Father is the main center point, and on His right hand is Jesus Christ, sitting there now. Now, Christ will return to earth, but right now He's on His right hand. It says, around the throne in Revelation are 24 elders. So I picture the throne room as in a C shape. You know how we stand in music? We stand in a C shape because the harmony blends better. The sound blends better. So when we come before Him, if you come before Him in prayer, you're kneeling before the throne and you have the attention of the Creator God. I don't care what problems you bring to Him, He's there to listen to you for as long as you want to be there. When we come before Him on the Sabbath, singing praises, coming into His courts, we do it as a group. This is why it bothers people like me when Sabbath services starts in our present day and people use the songs to finish up their coffee, talk. You know, we've got to get in there for the sermon, but they kind of treat music like it's not that important. Brethren, the song service is the very beginning of church. It is the praise part of us coming before God. Now, I'm not saying what I'm doing now or what Mr. Bumgardner, I'm not saying that the teaching isn't important. It is. But it's a get side of it. You're sitting there getting this information from God, right? What are we giving to God? We give to God, as David said in Chronicles, by singing praises to God. That is the give portion. So we should never minimize even just the hymn section, special music, whatever. It is the give and take of the whole service. We give to God. We come before God at the very beginning to praise God with the opening prayer, which is also to God. Then God gives to us through the first message, right? Then we get back up and we give praise to God, thanking Him. And then God gives us the main message. And then we get up and we thank God. We give to God. It's an offering to God every time we sing. That's why He says, make a joyful noise and sing out. We need to take it seriously. Now, I'm not blaming you all or getting on to you. You all don't have this problem like in some of the churches you go to. And it's like they haven't even called attention yet, even though they're already singing because everyone's up walking around and talking and whatever else doing song services. And it's wrong. That's like going before the Queen Elizabeth, or going before Queen Elizabeth, and standing around talking in her court with her sitting on the throne. And you're there to talk and listen to her, but yet you're standing there having conversations. When church starts, we should be honoring and focused on God through the music. And again, I'm not getting on to you. I'm kind of using you because I have the first message at the feast this year. I'm a little nervous. So this is what I'm talking about. But it is important. It's something that we need to be reminded of. Okay? Psalm 100. I'm focusing in the Psalms because they are songs. Psalm 100 should be in my Bible. It's the next page over. Verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Again, where do you come before God's presence? In His throne room. At church. Or in prayer. So is it wrong to sing your prayers? Well, there's a lot of people in the Bible saying their prayers. I'm not here to debate that issue, but I don't think it'd be wrong if you did, obviously. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. So that bears on what type of music we do, right? Now our hymns we don't worry quite as much about, but some of the special music chosen, sometimes I feel like a one-man campaign because to teach these young people, they think just because if something sounds good, it's beautiful. Why not? Why can't we do it? It's all about the words. It has nothing to do with the music or very little to do with the music. If the words, and I teach them that it's a message. You're giving a message of God, just like the sermon is, only like a marriage of man and woman, we have the conscious. I'm speaking from the facility of my brain, but music comes from the heart, where the Holy Spirit resides. So between there again, with a full, complete Sabbath service, you had the singing, you had the speaking. It's like a complete marriage of message from God. It covers the whole boundary of the type of messages. And women can be involved. You hear about women cannot preach as I am in church. Paul tells us that clearly. However, there is nothing to say that women cannot sing, because if you look through Chronicles, and David had women appointed. Women can sing and bring praises to God with music on the Sabbath. For that matter, children can. Music. Wide open territory, very important. So, brethren, we are to enter God's gate on the Sabbath and sing songs of praise in a happy and uplifting way. It's not a time to use vain repetition either. How many times, if I was Jesus Christ, some of the songs, I love you, Jesus, over and over and over again, he has to get really tired of that. And then it doesn't say anything else. So we try to always focus on music that is uplifting. I like to use Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are pure and honest and uplifting. Not only think on these, but as I teach the ABC students, sing on these. That should be what you're singing about. Not how an awful life you had and how you're a terrible sinner, and which may be true, but that doesn't... How is that uplifting and bringing everyone into glorifying God? Preaching is for us to learn, whether it is through the spoken word or through music. It is a gift given to God, both in hymns and special music. It honors and praises God, the Father of us all, the Creator of all things. It is to be filled with as much joy and praise as we can muster. Today, brethren, I've noticed, we've all noticed probably, that our church services have degenerated to the song leader getting up and telling a bunch of jokes. And to be honest with you, I've done it myself. We used to be told in Spokesman's Club and so forth, or at least one time in my period of years back, that, well, the song leader was the MC of the show to get the speakers up there. Well, whether that's true or not, I can't say. But I can say the song leader is the one leading the congregation in praise to God. It's not a time to tell jokes. I'm not saying you can't, while everyone's getting settled, you can't, you know, say something that's lighthearted and say what a beautiful day it is. So I'm not here to try to get on anyone or make any conditions on song leading. But our services, in my view and other people's view, has degenerated to the point that there's not much honor and glory to God from what, in some areas, I should say. I don't want to take away from anyone who is not doing this. So the song leader leads everyone facing the congregation. If you have this heavenly view of being in God's throne room, and he leads people in one accord to sing praises to God. The focus shouldn't be on him. The focus should never be on a musician. If someone gets up and do special music and it's, you know, Twilight of Paris time or whatever, that's wrong. It's not to focus on the person singing. It's only to focus on God. That's the only reason we have music for Sabbath services. Or should be, I should say. We should be clear and lift our voice in singing. It talks over and over in Psalms and more scriptures that I can go to, how even the rivers clap hands, the mountains shake and roar, speaking of music. God doesn't like just, you know, ho-hum music either. We must always remember that we're there to give God glory and honor first and foremost, and then listen to what He has for us to learn for that day at Sabbath services. We must always enter God's throne room in a respectful manner. We should have the best we have on. You know, not to get off on another subject, but in some areas I've noticed people just, they kind of come casually to church anymore. In church, even if you only own bibbed overalls and that's your best, fine, wear them. But make sure they're clean. Make sure you scrape the mud off the boots if that's all you have. Wear the best you have. It's the same thing. It's only an example for the music. Sing the best you can. Do the best you can. If the best you can do is sing five different keys on the same song, then do it. But do it out. Sing it out. Pray. You're praising God. You're not there as an audition for American Idol. Okay? So how should we sing before God? Well, we sing and continue to sing in the millennium. Well, I think you already know the answers to that. If I can find my scriptures. Can't even find the last page. In Revelation 14, please turn to it. Over to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, I'm sure you all read this many, many times in your lives, but let's look at it as far as music is concerned. Then I looked and beheld a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000. They're singing! Christ is ready to return to earth, and they're singing. Or maybe this is where He is returning to earth. I should have read a little better. But nevertheless, singing is involved here, correct? If you... I can't remember the scriptures in 1 Chronicles. I think it's 1 Chronicles 20, maybe. Maybe it's 2 Chronicles. When it talks about the armies were coming up around Jerusalem to invade them. And the king sent out the musicians first, not the army, because they were outnumbered. They couldn't win. So he sent the chorale out in front of the army. And it says, as soon as they started to sing, the angel of God slew the other armies. There were three armies. They killed each other in the confusion, and then the angel, I guess, finished off the last few. And by the time that Israel got to the battlefield, they were already dead. They had been starved out, so they had all this plunder. They could be kept alive. How important is music to God? What did He do at Jericho? He didn't take it down with battering rams. He took it down basically with the shout. How do you know they weren't singing? Now, I don't know if you can prove it one way or the other, but it was not physical weapons. Okay, it was sound, like the sound of many waters, as it says here. It's giving you a description of what the music sounded like. And Revelation 15, verse 1. And then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the last seven plagues, for in them were the wrath of God. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, and hear the words, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not... Now remember, they're singing this. Millions of angels singing this. For you are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. How awesome would that be? I sure hope I'm there. I want to see it. Maybe we can all be in the 144,000 that sing. You know, it says 144,000. It doesn't say they all could sing when they got there, so maybe God's going to perform a miracle for those who struggle with it. I don't know. Maybe he just wants his children to sing with their voices that they have, whether it's good or not. He just wants his babies to sing. For those who have babies, you know what I mean. You just want your children to sing. You want them to be happy. You want them to show love. These are things that music does before God. And the answer is about music, and as far as using it for the future and in the millennium, yes, it will be there. Music will be a most important of God's throne forever. Music will usher in the kingdom. You know, since he used it in Chronicles before the armies, there's no way I can prove it, but I would be curious to see that if God doesn't use the 144,000 singing to usher in the army returning from heaven to overthrow the earth. I don't know, but God always repeats himself. Don't hang your hat on that, by the way. Don't say it so satanic, because I could be all wrong. But it was done that way in the Old Testament. Brethren, we must consider music as a language, the language of the heart from the Holy Spirit that resides within us. We must praise and honor God through music. We must use a tool God gave us to worship Him and to pull us together as a people and servants of God. We must sing praises or make a joyful noise, but sing before God. Well, I go sit down now, but I have to lead you in a closing song. So, thank you for having us down here.